I don't know about you, but listening to the documentary there, there was just so many ideas and things rolling about. We've come up with a couple questions just to get us rolling. We do not want to limit the discussions to these questions. These are just to get us rolling, get the thought going. The first one is, what do you think about coming to grips with the history? Should we just let bygones be bygones? Do you think it's important that we understand where we're coming from? What do you think?
I think it's very important that we understand where we're coming from. We cannot let bygones be bygones per se. We must learn from the past so that we don't make the same mistakes. And to learn about that and not develop animosity is what we should try to do.
I think that bygones are history. And we, to just say let bygones be bygones, you know, I don't think is justifiable. I think we do need to address them. We do need to acknowledge them. And more important than either of those is we need to accept them. If you let bygones be bygones, you have a possibility of someone not learning their history, someone not knowing who they truly are. And when that happens, then who are they going to become?
I think the bygone part here refers specifically to history. And it is so sad that younger people cannot relate to who they are because they don't know from whence they came. And if you are going to shut it out, leave it out, young people can't build on that. I can't hide the fact that we had this. I don't condone it. I don't like it. It might upset people, but it happened. And the only way we can rise above it is to tell you about it, educate you, and allow you an opportunity to rise above that. Certainly, we cannot just let it rest and not do anything. You must bring it up.
I think that history is very, very important. It's something nobody should ever forget. But I also think you have to put things in perspective, and you have to know where you are today, and you have to look at the future. The history is good because it tells you where you need to go. So the most important thing about history is, what did you learn from that? Where are we today, and where are we going?
So we're made up of the building blocks of our past. It's pretty much, and everyone is in agreement with that. Does anyone disagree with that? You know, we like to bring out all the points of view here. No? Everyone pretty much agrees that we do need those. Okay.
I heard a question that I would be curious to hear an answer. Officer said, where are we today? I don't know whether he said that in the form of a question or a statement, but I'm curious, where are we today? In terms of the same thing we're talking about, race relations and letting bygones be bygones.
I think maybe we're slipping it under the rug and moving on without really examining.
I'm curious to find out. That's the feeling that I've gotten.
Many of us are at different places in a lot of instances because of the choices that we make as to where we want to be. I think that we can be as far as we allow ourselves to be with the limitations that are placed upon us, not necessarily as stringent as we think that they are or want to think that they are, because of something that we are holding that we need to let go.
I think where we are is ignorant. We don't know, so you talk about where we're going and all of this, and there are many of us, and I'm not speaking for us, I'm just talking about what I know. What I know is that for a large part of my life, I didn't know my history. And what I was taught about my history was all cosmetically and candy-coated in certain ways. And then I'm put in a position later in life where, you know, I'm angry because I don't know. I feel like I'm catching up with myself. And I know this is true for many, many people of my culture. You're trying to find out about who you were in your history, and you're in a position where you should be teaching. You don't even know what to teach. So, you know, it sounds good and it sounds, you know, really nice, but the fact of the matter is, you know, it's okay to be angry because I really don't know. And I'm not going to call it anything that it isn't. It's ignorance. It's not stupidity. It's ignorance. I don't know. And I'm angry because I wasn't given a chance to find out.
Well, I think bygones have been bygones, and that's so very unfortunate. If me and my son are playing baseball out in front of your house, Liz, and my son hit the ball and break your window, who's responsible? I'm asking. I know you're the facilitator. Who's responsible for your window being broke?
It's my house, so I'm the one that's ultimately responsible.
Okay, so I'm not responsible, so I can just walk away?
Well,
now I'm talking period. Who would you believe is responsible? I'm responsible. But over a period of time, you may become accountable. But when I own up to that responsibility, my conscience is going to force me to deal with it. In Wilmington, like McCray said on the tape, he don't believe he's responsible. But he is. And we as Frankie, in the past, when people continually say, well, Frank, move on. It's your responsibility. It becomes my responsibility, but somebody else is still responsible. And I expect people to pay up on their responsibility. And I think once we get to that point, then we can merge our consciousness and our thought processes. Because somebody is responsible. The truth of the matter is. And we got to start dealing with truth, and then the word of speaking truth will start to transcend people, and then they will change from that point. But continue to say, well, nah, white people are responsible for the hell I catch. Simple as that. Now, I'm going to take the ball and run with it now that I understand that they don't want to deal with their mental illness, and I didn't want to deal with mine. So as we start to deal with that, then we can start to move fast very rapidly.
Mm-hmm. So what do y'all think about the accountability?
And answering your question also, where we are today, we are raising memorials to these people who were criminals, who actually committed this crime. We have parks in their names, all kinds of statues throughout the city. And I wonder what happened to those people who were killed, the ones who they say clogged up the Cape Fear River for the blood. What happened to them? Who were they? What happened to the land that was taken, stolen? What happened? And we don't hear about that, but we hear about McCray, we hear about Clawson, we hear about Roundtree, and all of these in the documentaries, we hear these names. We never hear any black people's names. Only name that we hear is Alexander Manley. So, you know, I want to know who these people are. That's where we are. We don't even know. We don't know. We know from one perspective.
So you want the facts? I think that's where Alethea was going. That we don't have the facts. So where are we going? And that's what Thomas was saying also.
Yes. Excuse me, I got a cold. About let bygones be bygones. I took down some notes while I was listening to this, and the first one I put down here was lest we forget. Remember when I was a kid, my dad had a book, and it was from World War II. It was about World War II, and it had a gun down on the ground with a bayonet and a helmet on top of it. And the book was called Lest We Forget. And something this incredible that happened, this historical, this dramatic, we can never forget this. And bless Miss Hankins and everybody who is a part of making sure we do remember this, because, I mean, I'm new to this city, but when I first found out about this, I mean, it's mind-blowing. And like I said, something this incredible, we have to remember this. We have to learn about it. It should be something that is taught. So, like some other people said, this doesn't happen again. People remember the Holocaust for the same reason. Mm-hmm. And you talk about accountability. I started getting pretty angry when the reason I asked you about the rule you were talking about ideas and not criticizing people. because I feel pretty critical about what I was hearing from Mr. McRae and Mr. Roundtree, and that just angered me when they're talking about I won't criticize my grandfather or I won't criticize my family. I mean, the way I feel about it is if my grandfather did something wrong, yeah, he's my grandfather, but he did it wrong, and I'm going to criticize him for it. I mean,
the question is, given the times, did they think they were wrong?
To me, it's that's not even the issue. I can look at something objectively, and whether it's my grandfather or uncle or cousin or whatever, I mean, something that is wrong, and whether it's my family or not, I'm not going to take responsibility for it, but I'm going to say that what they did was wrong.
When you kill somebody, just wantonly kill, shoot into a crowd and kill somebody, in any era, any time of history of mankind, that is wrong. When you displace a people, run them out of town for no particular reason, when you steal their land, all of their belongings, how can you justify that?
So the ends don't justify
the means. What ends? What is the ends? You know, and
we're talking about the poverty in the city of Wilmington.
Well, you know, it was done for whatever reason. It was still wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry, Celeste.
I have this vision of labeling every structure that was built by slaves because we can't identify them.
You say Africans, please.
Okay.
We don't want to think about ourselves as slaves.
But I mean, that's when they were built.
But
like in Washington, D.C., here.
Africans who built those buildings.
Well, of course, the whole thing would be controlled by the African-American community. It would not be the decisions of whites. But the point is that every time somebody walked in the door of a structure that was put together under those conditions, there would be a plaque designed by blacks, chosen by blacks, that says, if you don't like built by slaves, then you know, you would choose something else. Because the white community has a tendency to think of the good old days only as picking cotton, working in the fields. Somehow we don't see artisans, carpenters, master bricklayers, carvers. I mean, there are so many extremely
talented
examples of other things that these people were capable of doing that they never got credit for.
And did. And actually, we heard in the audio that was one of the reasons why they were run out of town, because they were taking jobs away. They did have the talent. They were doing the work and taking jobs away from them.
I think that many whites, perhaps not in 1999, 2000, that were born, you know, in 1980, may not know this. I think in past times, the white community knew, but were in what we call denial about many things. There's a lot of denial about the symbolism of the Confederate flag. The knowledge is there. It's just not wanting to be accepted as they made these contributions, but because of who they were, we just can't give them credit for it. And that is what I think this thing works to change. Based on what Lloyd said, I think that the things that happened have been recognized, and this is recognition for it. That's very important. I think what you may be looking for is what the next step will be, and based on what Frankie said, some kind of reparation, and that is a very puzzling issue that will have to be resolved at some time down the road, and I don't know how we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think we've got a long period of recognition. We can't, we're just barely touching the surface with recognition. This community here in Wilmington, We have a lot of cosmetic recognition in February, Black History Month. But what about day-to-day perspectives? What about, you know, why is it so hard to find equality in everything? We don't have enough recognition. And if we think we're ready for the next level, then we're lying to ourselves. We just barely gotten to a point of any identification. I mean, when we can get to a situation like we had earlier tonight and just casually talk about how Wilmington was the largest city in North Carolina and populated mostly by blacks and how there were black lawyers and everything, but then jump right off into if you're not listening to that, you don't even hear it. If you're not listening to that one sentence, you don't hear it. And so, you know, you can be here. I'm from here, and not knowing these things angers me, because when I come up, you know, when I was coming up, the ideal thing, the educated thing, were the to do, you know, be an athlete or be this or be that, our culture continues to be in that way. It continues to be that, you know, be, do, or work for somebody else. And whenever we just honest enough to stand up and say, I wanna be for myself, you know, I don't see the equality there. And I think that the fact that we can be honest enough to be angry isn't out there enough.